Well, welcome to our first Sunday of Advent, December 1st. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. There was someone in our first service today, I won't say their name. I don't know if anyone could beat this record. You know, Pastor Dustin talked about just a taste of what's to come. They're getting ready to have their fifth Thanksgiving dinner this afternoon. Anyone else have more than five Thanksgiving dinners to look forward to? That just about does it for me. I was good after the first. So anyway, we're glad you're here this morning. We're glad to be together and just want to welcome those joining us online as well too. It's been a great weekend for many. I was thinking how glad I'm not the pastor. It was rough for us, KU and K-State yesterday, but I'm glad I'm not the pastor like Pastor Aaron's dad in Ohio, who's a Michigan fan pastoring in Cincinnati, Ohio. I can't imagine a tougher assignment today that he's been given to play it cool and at the same time, you know, be really happy down deep inside. So anyway, we're just been a lot of good fun things, and I wasn't going to say anything. I didn't say anything. I refrained from saying anything about the first service, but congratulations to the luckiest team on the face of the earth, and you know who I'm talking about. So anyway, we're glad you're here. You can clap if you want, because I don't think it's going to go that far continuing to play that way. So anyway, enough of that. We're here because we are here talking about hope. We're talking today about the when God comes near. We're talking about the different things the Advent season brings. Advent means coming. So we're going to talk about this month. We're going to talk about hope, faith, love, peace. We're going to talk about the light at Christmas Eve. I hope you'll invite your friends at Christmas Eve services. What a great opportunity to share the good news with them. It's going to be a great couple services on Christmas Eve. It's hard to believe it's December 1st. I kind of feel like the little boy and his dad who planned a fishing trip together, and they were going to do it on Saturday. And so Friday night, when the dad was tucking his little boy in, the little boy looks up at his dad and says, "Daddy, thanks for tomorrow." That's hope. That's what we're talking about when we are looking forward to something. Advent is looking forward to the celebrating Christ coming, but also, as Pastor Dustin said, celebrating Christ coming again, that we have this hope of drawing near. That's what this series is about drawing near. And there's many different things that we draw near to that give us hope. We dropped our daughters off at the airport last night, and we were filled with hope because instead of 3 or 4 months, it's just 3 weeks and we're back. So we barely said goodbye. We just said, "See you again. We'll see you later." This last week, we were at a department store. There was a young sales associate that was helping our family, and he was really excited. He and I, because the ladies were shopping, he and I got a chance to kind of talk. He's 31 years old. He has a wife that she's 31 years old too. And he began to share how excited he was because they're about to have their first child. And I was like, "That's awesome, you know?" And he's like, "Yeah, we've waited too long for it. We're so excited, and we can't wait for it to get here, and it's the baby's coming in April." And I said, what are you having?" And he said, "Oh, we haven't told anybody that. We're not telling anybody that, but since I don't know you, I'll tell you and a couple hundred of my closest friends here today. I will not reveal the sex. I mean, our world is too small. You never know what goes back." But he was so excited. In fact, he said these words. He said, "I wish April were here now. I'm ready for this baby now." He was so excited, anticipating, because he knew something was coming near. We are just 25 days away from Christmas Day, 24 days away from Christmas Eve. Who does it the right way and celebrates Christmas on Christmas Eve? What? Who does it the wrong way and does it on Christmas Day? Yeah, that's Heather's family. They do it on Christmas Day. So we've just had to learn to compromise. We're excited that Christmas is coming because it's something bigger. We get lost sometimes because Christmas comes and goes. We've heard the Christmas story in so many different ways, said so many different times. Honestly, it's a challenge to kind of preach on Christmas because, you know, what different ways can we preach the Christmas story? But in all of it, I want to say this. Let's not lose the awe of the hope that we have, that Christmas is about about drawing near. It's about drawing near to God. And my prayer for us is that when God comes near, you're going to find hope. Because when God does come near, we do find hope. And my prayer for you this Christmas, church, is that you experience the nearness of Christ. I hope you get all the presents and the things that you want underneath the tree, but I could care less about that. I hope you experience the nearness of the Lord, the nearness of Christ. I believe this is an opportunity. We have 25 days that we can use this as an opportunity to draw near to God, because he's always drawn near to us. God showed up first. That is the message of Christmas. One of the hardest things for me, honestly, as pastor, is when people lose hope. When people lose hope and give up on their marriage. When people lose hope and give up on their family, or give up on themselves, or give up on the church, or give up on God. One of the hardest things in my 25 years is watching people when they lose hope. Because Christ came that we may have hope. And so we're going to talk about when God comes near, we find hope. Ray Johnson said this: some wise person once said that we can live about 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, and about 8 minutes without air, but not a single second without hope. Hope is a big deal. Hope is important. When we lose hope, we give up. We throw in the towel. Hope is a powerful thing. In fact, if you get just a little bit of hope, a little bit of hope goes a long ways and can take you a great deal, and take you a great distance. Hope is one of the big three that the Apostle Paul said that there's three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. It's often forgotten, I think, of faith and love we talk about often. Hope is a big deal. It's important. And I think it's important that the first Sunday of Advent is focused on hope, and the hope that we have for when God comes near, we find hope. It's when we remember that Christmas, that God showed up. I'm thankful to have not only my kids that were here, but I'm thankful to have my parents and my father-in-law here this weekend. And my parents, one thing I thought about them is they always showed up. I was blessed. They always showed up. I know Heather had the same. She was blessed that had parents that showed up at their games, at their activities. I didn't have to worry about. My dad canceled weddings in the fall to make sure that he didn't miss any of my football games. I mean, they showed up. And you may not have had a parent, and we don't all have parents that showed up for us, but I can tell you, you have a God that has showed up for you. You have a God that has showed up. That's the story of Christmas, that he came near, that he was present, and that is the hope that we have. As Isaiah says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, and the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which Emmanuel means God with us. God showed up. God came close. My prayer for us, no matter your situation, some of you are on the mountaintop today, my prayer is that God, you'll feel the closeness of God. Some of you are walking through a deep valley. My prayer is the same for you, that you experience the closeness of God. The closeness of God is not the absence of pain. It's not the absence of hurt. It's God being near, that even when in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our hurts, that God wants to come near. This was a prophecy that was given 700 years before the birth of Jesus. 700 years, and it was written at a time not when Isaiah wasn't writing this from the mountaintop. He was writing it from the deepest valley to a people that were feeling hopeless. Hope had seemed to dissipate. 700 years that there would be before this prophecy was fulfilled. 400 of those 700 years, it was darkness. There was no word from the Lord. God, it seemed to have gone silent, because the way God spoke then was he spoke through the prophets, and there was no prophet for 400 years. No word from God, no word from the Lord. It's as if God had gone silent. Maybe sometimes in your life, in the seasons that you're in, or maybe you're even in today, you feel like God has gone silent, that he's not listening, that God, where are you? I would just love for you to show up. This is the message, that God is not always early, he's not always late, he's always on time, and he shows up, and we see the rest of the story, how it plays out, recorded in one of the Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. This was the prophecy that was filled, that God showed up. Now, we look at this, and especially if you're like me and you grew up in church, in fact, in some ways you have an advantage if you didn't grow up, you were unchurched, you didn't really talk about God in your family, you didn't hear anything about Him. I would say in some ways there's a blessing in that, because when you hear the story, you don't just gloss over. You don't just gloss over things. You actually look at things. You look and you say, she was found to be pregnant with the Holy Spirit. And you think to yourself, a virgin birth, that doesn't make any sense. A virgin birth, could that really happen? We've heard it all of our lives, most of us. Even if you didn't grow up in the church, you've heard it all of your life that you don't even think anything about it. That a young woman, maybe 14 or 15 years old, gives birth to a son, that it was conceived by the Holy Spirit, not by human will, not by human desire. And it's easy to gloss over that and to lose the awe of that. And I would say this, if you're here today or you're watching online or you've ever struggled with the virgin birth, I would actually say that's a really normal thing. That's actually a reasonable response. We just get so used to it, we just accept it. And I think that's a good thing. We should accept it. Accepting Christ, accepting Him by faith. But if you've ever had your doubts or wondering, it's a natural, reasonable response to question and to wonder. I don't think it's a bad thing. A lot of what we believe in, we act upon by faith. You know, science only goes so far, and then there's God. There's things that we can't explain, and this is how the birth of Jesus came about, and sometimes we lose the wonder that Jesus was born in a supernatural way, in a way that we cannot explain. In the beginning. So what is our response to this? What must we do to do the works that God requires? Jesus answered, the works of God is this, to believe in the one who He has sent. That's our job. That's our responsibility. That's our opportunity, that we get the opportunity to believe in the one that He has sent. And that comes easier for some of us more than others. But the work of God is this, is not to be a good person. The work of God is this, is not to do good things. The work of God of this is not to be a good husband or to be a good father or to be a good parent or be a good grandparent. The work of God is none of those things. Those are all good things. They're all wonderful things. But none of those things save us. The work of God is this, is to believe in the one that He has sent. And that's the good news of Christmas. Because Joseph, her husband, was faced with this same dilemma. He was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He was a good man. He had in mind to divorce her quietly, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Joseph had a decision to make. He could trust his own intuition. He could trust in the natural. He could trust in what he could explain. He could trust in science, if you will. And science cannot prove a virgin birth. Science cannot explain a resurrection. At some point, we have to decide, are we going to step over into faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that He is who He says He is, that He's a God that is there. And I don't think you'll ever find in Scripture, I don't think you'll ever find in Scripture where God tries to prove Himself. Nature proves it. The world around us, the all of creation, it proves God, but God does not try to prove that He exists. God only tries to prove one thing. He tries to prove how much He loves us. He tries to prove His love for you and me. That's what Christmas is about. It's about this hope that he loved us so much that he left the glory of heaven. He left his glorious surroundings. He gave up himself and became like us. He took on our humanity. He took on our frailty. He took on our sin, though he was sinless himself, and was broken for us. Joseph was left with the decision, am I gonna reason in my own mind, or am I gonna listen to God? We have that same decision in every day. Are we gonna trust ourselves and what makes sense to us and what we can explain? Or are we gonna trust God, which is sometimes the things that he asks and the things he requires is unexplainable. What he requires of us is that we believe in him, that we trust in him. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Our hope is in a Savior. The mission of God is that he sent his son to save us. The mission of God is he came to save others, that he came to save his people. It's a big deal to be saved. I don't know if this is the best example, but there's the experiment of the wharf rats, where these scientists took these wharf rats, threw them into water, and they had them swim, see how long they would survive, and they only lasted 17 minutes before they died. So the next time the scientists threw these wharf rats in the water, they got to about 15, 16 minutes, they pulled these rats out of the water, and they dried them off, they fed them, they gave them a few days rest, they treated them really well, and the next time they threw them in the water, those rats lasted 36 hours. What changed? They found hope. They found hope. The scientists said it this way. They were able to survive because they had been saved. And friends, we are able to survive and even thrive because we've been saved by a God who loves us. We have a hope because we have been offered salvation, that she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The mission of God is to save. It's to save you, it's to save me, it's to save others. The mission of God and the wonder of Christmas is that God came close, God came near. He wants to come near to you, he wants to come near to me, he wants to come near to our neighbors, our friends, our family. He has come near because he wants to save his people. His people, who are his people? That sounds kind of exclusive, doesn't it? I mean, who's in and who's out? Who's part of the his people and who's part of the not his people? Who gets to be a part? Jesus made it very clear. He said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. His people listen to his voice. They follow him. They trust in him. And I've wondered so many times how people, because Ephesians 2:12 says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, without hope and without God. Sometimes at Christmas, because we have Christ and we have Jesus, we forget what it was like before we had Jesus, before we had Christ. And we forgot what it was. The saddest scripture in the Bible, I think, is this, without hope and without God. And we forget what it's like to be without hope and without God. Heather and I have had this conversation so many times. I know many of you probably had the same conversation. How do people do it without God? How do people get through this without Jesus? This life is hard enough. This life is broken enough. This life has heartache enough without having Jesus. How do people do it without Jesus? I've been your pastor for 9.5 years, and I've watched many of you go through some incredibly difficult things in your personal lives, some incredible losses, some incredible setbacks, some incredible hurts. But what has encouraged me is you have hope and you have God, and you hang on to that hope and you hang on to God. And so you are able to survive because you know that there is a hope awaiting you. You know there's a hope that is out there for you, even when you're in the middle of it. And some of you, honestly, I know some of you, you're right in the middle of it right now. Some of you are going through it. Some of you are in the deepest, darkest valley. Some of you have had some incredible, unimaginable loss, some incredible setbacks here in recent days. And yet I'm inspired and overwhelmed because I watch a people put this into practice, that you have kept hope because you have kept God. You have kept faith. You've kept trusting, even when it didn't make sense. And sometimes you've just hung on. And friends, sometimes hanging on is good enough. Sometimes hanging on is what gets you through. When you hang on to your hope, when you hang on to the faith, remember that we at one time were separate without God. So let's remember this, that for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people as we head into Christmas, that while we wait for this blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, we have received this glorious news that it's more than about presence underneath a tree. It's more than about lights in our home and in our house. It's about a hope that Christ has brought us. And this grace is for all of us. And it's not just, it's for you and it's for me, but it's not just for you and just for me, but it's for people that aren't here. It's for our friends and neighbors and our coworkers. It's for our family members, that the grace of God is offered to all people. Salvation is offered to everyone. And then, as Pastor Dustin said, we don't just have this hope that Jesus has forgiven us of our sins. We have this hope that he is going to come back and redeem us, that he's going to reclaim us. And we don't just celebrate the advent of the first coming of Christ. We celebrate the advent of the second coming of Christ, that he's coming again. And just as in the Isaiah and in the Old Testament, there was all these prophecies and all these signs pointing to the birth of the Messiah, pointing to Jesus' arrival. In the same way, there are all these signs, there's all these prophecies that point to Jesus' second coming. And it's so easy. There were so many at Jesus' first coming that did not recognize his coming, that did not realize what was taking place. Let us learn from that. May we be watchful. One thing it says in Scripture, and this isn't a message about the second coming of Christ, but I'm just sharing with you, as much as Jesus came the first time and they were wondering if it was ever going to happen, let me just tell us, church, to remind us, we believe in Jesus Christ and his second coming. We believe that he's coming back, and we could easily be lulled to sleep and think, well, he hasn't come. It's been 2,000 years. We haven't seen him. It's not going to happen. Don't forget that 1,000 years is a day with God, and a day is 1,000 years. That he is not slow in coming, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the thing that's holding Jesus back is love, because he's wanting everyone to find him. He wants everyone to know him, that the grace has appeared, is offered to everyone, and he wants to redeem us and bring us home. So my challenge is that we would come near to God so that he can come near to us. Draw near to him. That's what Christmas is about. It's about drawing near to Jesus. Jesus came first. Jesus showed up first. Jesus made a way first so that we might respond to him, that we might come near to him, that we might draw close to him. When God comes near, we find hope. That is my prayer for us this Christmas. That's my prayer for, it's not my prayer that the Chiefs or the Broncos win the Super Bowl. It's not my prayer that, you know, KU, you know, wins the national championship in basketball. I'm all those things. I'm not leaving my K-State fans out either. All those things, the presents underneath the tree, the girls coming home, everything that is good, these are not bad things, good things in life. My prayer for us is that we will draw near to God, because he wants to draw near to us. He already made the first move, and now he's just waiting for us to respond this Christmas season. So my prayer for you and for me is that this Christmas season, this day one of 25 days, that we'd make it our prayer, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for coming. Help me not to miss the importance and the significance of your coming to bring us hope and salvation through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Would you stand with us this morning? We're going to close in prayer, and we're done a little bit early today, which means you get to beat the Baptists and the Methodists and the Lutherans to the buffet line, so you're welcome. When God comes near, we find hope. My prayer for us today is that we will find our hope solely in faith in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for my friends here. Thank you for my friends that I can have fun with, joke around with, enjoy. Thank you for the new faces, the old faces, and everyone in between. Thank you, God, for this church, and thank you for those online. And my prayer for all of my friends today, my prayer for me and Heather and my girls and our family, my prayer is that we will draw close to you with the promise that you will draw close to us because you already came for us. You want to show up for us. You're always present. You're always waiting. You're there with us. You're near to us in our pain. You're near to us when we're on the mountaintop. You're near to us when we're everything in between. You came to be near to us so that we could have a relationship with you that gives us hope and joy and peace. So I pray, Lord, this Christmas season, open up our hearts and our minds. And Lord, then I pray, Lord, that not just for us, but Lord, salvation is for all. Your grace is for everybody. So Lord, would you just help us, as Peter said, to be always ready to share the hope that we have, to do it with gentleness and respect, not overbearing, not Bible beating, not Bible bearing, but just loving people with the love of Christ, inviting them, giving them an invitation to experience your love and your hope and your peace. Lord, we love you today, and we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, and this morning maybe you're at a place that this is December 1st, what could make this the best Christmas ever is for you to draw near to God. He's already drawn near to you. And if that's you this morning, I just breathe this prayer or say this prayer or something like it with me. Dear Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me a new person inside. Help me to follow you. Thank you. Now give me the hope and the peace and the joy that only you can bring. In Jesus' name. Father, for those that might have prayed this prayer right now, Lord, I just pray, God, that this would be the best Christmas they've ever had, the best gift they've ever received, just to allow Jesus into their heart and into their life to experience the hope and love that you have for them. We love you today. We praise you. And we ask, Father, for your presence as we go from this place, that we might be a light to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.